Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of the True Potential Do More With Your Money podcast. And I'm joined by my colleagues today to do a bit of a roundup of March and all things to look forward to in April. So today I'm joined by Richard Taylor, George Bell, Liam Heal and Sophie Bennett. And really what we're going to do is do a bit of a run through of some of the highlight figures from March, but also we've got specialists from different areas to talk about not just March, but also, as I say, forward-looking into April. A couple of key figures, and I just sort of wanted to start with a thank you to all of our clients, all of our financial advisors for entrusting True Potential with your money. We have the strapline of do more with your money, and I'd like to thank each and every one of our clients. We got 479 million of new business coming into True Potential in the month of March. That also took us over 30 billion of assets, which is a huge milestone, and that's 523,000 clients that now entrust True Potential to look after and help them do more with their money. So big numbers, nosebleed territory, isn't it, those numbers? But George, before we get into the sort of the nitty-gritty of the podcast, if I can just jump over to you to talk about our investment management team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're at a very interesting time in markets, particularly for multi-asset portfolios, which we run here at True Potential. You've got inflation, which is falling back into a range, which allows central banks to start considering bringing down interest rates in economies, which are showing real signs of resilience. When we came into the year, the market was quite narrowly led by companies which had an association with artificial intelligence. And a lot of those reside in the United States. But what we've seen through the course of March is a broadening out in terms of an improvement of economic data across the UK, Europe, and also in China as well, particularly in the manufacturing sector. So that's benefited regions such as the UK from a stock market perspective, Europe, Japan as well. So we've seen a breadth of returns. So we're seeing good returns in equities. We're seeing good returns in bonds, but that's starting to broaden out. So for a multi-asset portfolio, that's a great environment. So we've seen five months of very strong returns within the portfolios. Just to put that in context, within the balanced portfolio, up 2.67% on the month. That's after portfolio charges. If we were to look at that on a quarterly basis, that's a return of 4.4%. And if we looked at an aggressive portfolio where we've got more in terms of stocks and shares or equities, we saw a one-month return of 3.5% and a quarterly return of 7.35%. So some good returns which are coming through, which we're well positioned for in the portfolios. Some of the changes which we've made, particularly over the last 12 months, to actually reduce our allocations to cash and alternatives as a diversifier and actually put that money back to work in the equity and bond market. And partnering with the right managers has been key as well. You know, the added benefit which we have, it's not just about building a multi-asset portfolio. It's about partnering with world-class specialists who can actually recognize that although the global trends are pretty robust, there is nuances on a regional basis and we can access the opportunities through those managers.
Good. Now, Liam, you are new to the podcast and you thought I forgot, but I didn't. Welcome, first of all. Do you just want to quickly introduce yourself and your role at True Potential?
Yeah, certainly. So my role is head of client-facing development, and I think ultimately that role is to ensure that our client technology offering is the best in the industry. So whether that be looking at our existing systems, ensuring they're stable, they're working, all the features within there are still fit for purpose, but then also working with the likes of yourselves and turning your ideas into physical functionality within the site. So the first part of that is building those ideas out into specifications. They can be handed over to a developer, and then I will work with the development team to get that built and then get that released and work with the likes of the marketing team to ensure our clients are communicated out to.
Good. I think let's jump into it, everybody. And it's called Tax Year End. I always like to think it as Tax Year Start or Tax Year Refresh. But Rich, I'm just going to jump to you and just give us some of the facts and figures, because you're right at the coalface and the platform.
Yeah, sure, great. So I think, you know, just from my point of view, I head up the platform operations team. So it's our, you know, March is typically our busiest time, you know, for obvious reasons. We have a lot of clients who want to, you know, hit the deadline, hit the tax year end deadline, get their contributions in for ISAs, for pensions. That's a lot more queries that we're dealing with, a lot more money that filters through the platform. So 461 million that we received and we invested in March. That came from over half a million actual individual contributions. So that's a lot of cash receipts that we're receiving, you know, every single day. 150 million of that was in the form of new contributions. So what we class as, you know, top ups to ISAs, top ups to pensions. And that sort of continues on into April. So what we've already seen, you know, in April so far, £20 million impulse saved. And that sort of continues, as I say, throughout the month. It's not all sort of money in from a platform point of view. We also look after clients who are taking an income, whether that's an income out of the pension or an income, you know, out of one of their ISAs or the general investment accounts. 5,000 withdrawal requests that we had in March, which was a record. That was for payment requests out of pensions. And it's actually funny because we're working quite hard with Liam and the team on some upgrades, you know, from the pension point of view, just to, you know, I think we have a very, very good proposition for clients. It's all digital. It makes it very, very easy for clients to access the money, but we're also always striving to make it even better. Mm-hmm. So we haven't quite, you know, got there with it just yet, but I think that's one to look forward to in the future. I think some exciting developments that we've got to come on that front, which just makes it a lot more easy and a lot more straightforward for clients. We'll probably touch on some of the changes as well with regards to pensions a little bit later on. They are typically made complicated pensions. You know, we talk about ISAs and GIAs and they're relatively straightforward. You know, the government have a habit of meddling around with pensions and the legislation. It's our job to navigate through that. And then ultimately for advisors, but ultimately for clients, is to provide functionality and systems that make it easy.
Yeah.
And that clients can understand what is sometimes quite a complicated product. So we'll talk a little bit about that later on. But yeah, very, very busy time on the platform front. It doesn't stop, as you said, Greg, with regards to the tax year finishing. What we have is obviously clients who are investing money now. You know, you have your new allowances to use. So ultimately a lot more clients investing with us, a lot more queries coming in, but makes it an interesting time to manage the, you know, the big team that we've got here at True Potential.
Yeah. No, thanks, Richard. No, I think we met this morning just as a management team, and I think you hit the nail on the head, which is certainly, it seemed the calmest tax year end we've ever had. And I think that's through learning of previous years, but also, as you say, technology doing a lot of the heavy lifting. And also, I'll jump over to you, Sophie, because we had the teams working over the weekend and late evenings and things that over the last few weeks, and also in improving our communications to make sure everyone knows when the deadlines are and what they are and things. Just run us through what your last couple of weeks have been like.
Absolutely. I would say we've felt the similar thing. Calmest tax year end. You know, we've been super well prepared, and you know, it's went really well. Like you say, we've been open on a weekend, we've been working extra hours, and I know some providers have different feelings, but we really like to be there for our clients as much as possible at the busiest time of year. So just to give a bit of perspective, we usually get on average around 8,500 calls a month. In March we got around 11,400, so on top of that, with all the other communications which have increased in a similar manner, you know, we managed to keep that answer rate of calls under a minute. So it was only 43 seconds average answer time in March, which I feel, you know, when you ring up a lot of other places at this time of the year, you're definitely not met with that same level of service. So we're really, really proud of that. This March, we put a lot of effort into making sure we were there for them. But obviously, it's not just come from a service aspect. Like Rich was saying, we're working with Liam's team. It's all these technology developments in our service proposition that really help the clients at this time of year. So the type of things we're helping clients with is making contributions and, you know, discussing deadlines. So like you say, we had all these communications regularly going out, letting the clients know, you know, this is how long you've got left. This is how you can do it on the site. We're here to help you if you need to. But yeah, the likes of Impulse Save and things like that have been brilliant. And the fact that we've got the team just there to ask as many questions as we want, you know, it's been a really successful month. And as we head into the new tax year, you know, we're experiencing, as I would say, another busy month, but in the best way. You know, we're here to help and support the clients whenever they do need us.
I think we've talked about that before in some of these podcasts, but I think that's why it's so important for us to continue to leverage the, you know, the vast resource that we've got in the development team. You know, people like Liam and you know, the other guys and girls in the development team provide a lot of the functionality and a lot of the systems, well, all of the systems that we use. It's all developed in-house. And I think what we're able to do from an operation and a client support point of view is then put more of those staff towards helping clients, correct, which is what Sophie's mentioned there. I think it's, you know, as much of the automation, as much of the development we can do, we continue with that, but it's all geared towards putting our staff to better use and being there on the phone, because I think that's quite unique as well these days. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very, very difficult. You know, we talk about it quite a lot, Greg, in terms of some of the other providers and other, you know, businesses in general of a certain size. It's very, very difficult to get on the phone and actually speak to somebody. Yeah. Never mind the person you need to speak to.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that, you know, we really have in sharp focus here.
No, I think 11,000 plus calls in a month is, you know, a huge amount of calls to be receiving, but it's one that we welcome, we encourage, we put our phone number everywhere we possibly can, because we're confident we'll get that answered within, you know, 43 seconds average. That means most people are getting it answered within a couple of rings. You know, yes, we're going to have times where it goes up, but, you know, put it in perspective. I had a problem with my bank account to the point where I needed to ring the fraud team. I'll not name the provider, but rang the fraud department, was on hold for an hour and 43 minutes to get through. An hour and 43 minutes, you get to the other side and you're thinking, geez, imagine if it was genuine fraud. Mm-hmm. They've had nearly 2 hours fun on my card while I'm trying to get through to you. You just think it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Where we almost sometimes take it for granted. And I think the other thing you've hit on there, Richard, which is one we've never maybe even explained to our clients or our listeners and viewers, which is we own Liam, we own the development team, we don't share resource, we don't outsource, we're not subject to waiting in a queue or waiting for time. But also it keeps us agile because, as you said, pension regulation changes this morning going into play. We don't have to wait in a queue or, you know, take systems down because we're waiting for a third-party company or whatever, which a lot of our competitors in the industry have.
Yeah.
You know, 75% of our competitors sit on three technology stacks, which is outsourced, and some of them in other countries. Whereas if you look at True Potential, we've got 55 versions of Liam upstairs, full-time employed developers that we can point and shoot. It's an expensive resource, but one that allows us to remain, you know, very agile. And I think that's a lovely segue into your section, Liam. And we'll just talk about some of the technology and the tools that you've been part of building to help clients with, you know, moving money around or managing their investments.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, just building on what Rich said there about how pensions are quite complicated and the rules tend to change quite quickly. Obviously, the lifetime allowance rules have changed within a matter of a few weeks ago, and we had to then get something ready for tax year start. So we've had the team working this weekend in order to get those changes live. We, as a company, we're very lucky to have a development team that we can push all the resource onto and get things over the line quickly. I actually don't know how some of the other providers are able to cope with those sort of time constraints. So yeah, in a matter of 2 or 3 weeks, we were able to make those changes and make sure, as of this morning, those were in place, and we were able to process all of those drawdown requests and all the likes. But yeah, some changes that we've made specific to tax year end. We once again, the benefit of having the development team, we were able to push a lot of resource to get the GIA pension transfer process into the client site. We've had the GIA ISA process for a number of years now, and it's something that we noticed on the way up to tax year end, but also at the start of the tax year, that gets quite a lot of usage. But we actually noticed, especially through the likes of Sophie's team, that we have a lot of clients wanting to do that same type of transfer but to a pension rather than the ISA. So we pushed the development resource there. We've built that into the client site. A very familiar process if you've used the GIA ISA transfer process already within the site. Within about a minute, you choose how much you want to do. You want to transfer. It's going to validate that against how much you've got in your GIA and how much allowance you've got left in your pension. And yeah, then that process goes through to Rich's team and then a huge amount of automation on that side, because we could never have enough manpower to manage the £30 billion worth of assets you now find on the platform. So automation is always really, really key in everything that we build. So yeah, that's something specifically we put in for tax year end.
And I think it's all linked up, as you've said, because what we'll look at is we'll look at the types of queries that we're getting into Sophie's team, for instance, where there's sort of improvements that we can make on the operational side of things. And this is a good example of something which, you know, it allows the clients and the advisors to go to a page within True Potential and do it without having to call up and speak to us. But it also allows the operational team a much sort of smoother journey from behind the scenes. So we don't want people having to go into a general investment account and sell down and then move that money over the system. You know, where possible, we'll get the system to do that. And it just goes back to what we're saying when we can put then more emphasis on that, the customer experience.
Yeah, I think that's a point what Liam's saying there is, you know, you can... We build these tools for usage because we see they're being used and utilized in other ways and making three processes one. Happy days, right? It's the whole point. But what I'd also sort of implore anybody listening today, if you're thinking, what does it mean by moving money from GIA to pension or GIA to ISA, what does that mean? Call the team up. That's what we're there for. It isn't always, you know, doesn't always make sense. Why would I move money from True Potential to True Potential? Well, there's tax benefits potentially to be had, but speak to an advisor, book an appointment. We'll talk about your booking system later, Liam. But, you know, book an appointment with an advisor, even if you just want to discuss what it means. Is there a possibility for you? Because it's important to use allowances that you're given is probably the main thing. But get in touch with the team's probably the overriding issue. If you're logged into your client site and you think, what does this button do? I'm worried if I press it, am I going to do something wrong? Well, speak to us and we'll give you the tax advice you need.
To show how much clients really do value that client login as well, this is the first month and it's probably a good milestone to mention, but we actually had 1 million client logins within this month, and that shows how much clients were benefiting the leading up to tax year end, able to service that thing, them things for themselves, you know, not have to always go to their advisor for everything. I think clients really, really do value that, and it's seen in them 1 million logins that we've had this month.
Yeah. We see that on our side as well. We tend to find that if you add up all of our digital interactions, so your secure messages, your live chats, and group them together, it actually tends to be more than the phone calls. Mm-hmm. But I think it's because some clients are so comfortable with it when it's a quick question or this and that, they pop it through the site, which, linking back with what you guys were saying before, it frees up our agents on the phone for the people that need us on the phone. Correct. So it allows us to be there for clients at all times. So no, we definitely see the benefit of that.
Yeah.
I can remember a seminar. I was at True Potential seminar 13 years ago. So David Harrison gets a mobile phone out of his pocket. It was the first edition of the iPhone. And he says to a room of 200 advisors and guests, all your clients will eventually log into one of these one day, and kind of laughed at a little bit. So the 1 million logins in a month kind of proved them right and some there, hasn't it? Which is, you know, forward thinking in technology to do as much of the heavy lifting as possible, as you say, to let the team actually be there to speak to in times of need. It's a lot like the doctor and nurse sort of triage, isn't it? You don't always need a doctor. You can just get the nurse to do the triage with, which I always think is a good analogy. So, Rich, I know we've kicked around a little bit on this, but obviously we have automation for clients and for the relationship management team, but also the platform as well. You're not, you know, 500, 600, 700 staff, which would be the norm to look after 30 billion of assets. And I'm saying that to reassure people we don't have, you know, as many staff, because we use development team to do a lot of your heavy lifting as well.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, we're very, very lucky because it's all built, purpose built. You know, all of the technology that we use, you know, I was involved in the project that we did to, you know, set that up. You know, we've obviously enhanced that. We've got a dedicated team of developers that work alongside Liam that are always looking at the process and routines that we have from a platform point of view. But, you know, as we've mentioned, it's volume, you know, as we've touched on with the platform we're dealing with, you know, over 500,000 clients. You know, we can have anything in the region of 3 to 4 million individual trades on client accounts. And to do that, we need technology that we can rely on, but it's also fit for for the growing nature of our client base as well. So, you know, that's something I spend a lot of time on with the development team and also the operational heads, on making sure that we are, you know, we're happy with how the system's working, but also forward looking as well.
Yeah. And it helps you can just grab him in a room quickly and just say, let's have 5 minutes and chat over this.
Absolutely.
Not putting a ticket into another country and hoping that they get back to you, which is very important. George, you've been quiet for a long time. Tell anybody listening or watching what Impulse Save is, because we've used the word a couple of times and it's our little sort of almost crown jewel, isn't it? It's, tell everyone what it is.
Impulse Save is a technology which we developed a number of years ago, which enables clients to top up their investments in a range of different products to help them meet their goals. So we can live track where you are relative to your goal, and you can instantly invest into a portfolio, so that money's instantly put into the market for you and put to work to help you achieve your goals. So very revolutionary at the time in which we came about, and it's got great merit. Not just at tax year end, we actually see that trend throughout the course of the year. We've got more clients who are engaged with Impulse Save. I know we were just talking before we started this morning, examples of us using it ourselves in action. So it's a great tool. It's also part of the discipline of regular investing. You know, you could have a regular direct debit to invest into your portfolio, or you can use the Impulse Save technology as well, just to save the writing the check and sending it to the advisor. Just help yourself. Just do it from your mobile phone.
It's why I knew I wasn't putting you on the spot, George, because we all impulse save frequently, and sometimes it's to show people how it works. Mm-hmm. Friends, advisors, clients, we sometimes demo it live and say, "There you go, a couple of presses of the button." So it's a very unique tool, and I think Richard, we had two records broken, didn't we, at tax year end, which was Impulse Save record day, and then the following day it was broken again by
£7 million, and then followed up by £8 million. So, you know, it shows you know the traction that we've got with clients, and that clients are valuing this technology that we offer. You know, it's a fairly simple concept, isn't it? But I think it's one which, you know, again goes back into the convenience that we're trying to offer our clients. You know, to make it as easy as possible to, you know, to top up. But also, as I mentioned earlier as well, it's not all about the top-up side of it. It's also about, you know, being there for clients when they are in retirement. Because, again, that's the goal of many of our, you know, pension members, is ultimately they're going to need an income at that point in time. So I think it's, you know, the Impulse Save, it speaks to the convenience of what we try to offer our clients.
So let's look at the new tax year, everybody, because we've looked backwards a wee bit there, but forward-looking, I think I'll jump over to you, Sophie. But what's kind of the main sort of synopsis? And I know we've done a couple of podcasts previously talking about going forward, about the changes, but give our listeners and viewers just a bit of what to expect in the new tax year.
Yeah, briefly, the main change for this new tax year is the lifetime allowance, which has now changed. I know it's been mentioned in detail in some earlier podcasts, so if you are really interested in that, please flip back and have a little look. But just to give you a bit of an idea, they essentially changed the lifetime allowance to two allowances. So there's LSA and LSDBA, just for a bit of a mouthful there. But essentially, it's the same figures that were previously used within the lifetime allowance. So you've got the lump sum allowance and the lump sum death benefit allowance. So the figures and things, you can go back and have a little bit of a closer look at them. But essentially, it's not a massive change, but it is the biggest one this tax year. If it affects you, you know, when you're making withdrawals and such like, if you're doing it on a non-advised basis, Liam's team have already built in, you know, some information about it into that process. But I would encourage you, if you do have any questions, to, you know, give us a call or speak to your advisor, because they might be higher rate if you do have protection in place and things like that. So it's always worth considering. So if you're not sure if it affects you, the best thing is to ask, because somebody will be able to check that for you. But other than that, we haven't really had many major changes. You know, with allowances and things like that, they're sticking the same this year. Your ISA allowance, and, you know, your 20,000 and your pension allowance of your 60,000 or your relevant earnings. So I think looking forward into the new tax year, it's really just utilising them as best you can. You know, I know everyone's in a different situation, but yeah, I think that's what we're really looking at, how we can help clients reach the goals by utilising those allowances.
Yeah, I think with the pension changes as well, especially to the lifetime allowance, I think you know, we did cover this in a fair bit of detail on the last two. You know, I think we really covered quite elegantly in the last two podcasts that we've done. There was also a note that went out on Friday, which actually went into a lot of detail. So I'd encourage clients and advisors to take a look at the podcasts from the last 2 weeks, but also that sort of bulletin that we sent out on Friday, which was really, really quite useful to just break it down. Because as we've said, I think, you know, pensions, you know, we have a habit of making this product overly complicated, and we replace one allowance with another at times. And, you know, I think the net effect might be quite minimal to a lot of clients in reality. But there's no doubt about it will affect, you know, there will be opportunities for certain clients. And I think that's back to your point on the financial advisor point. Is making sure, you know, you know, if you do have any queries, you haven't read and you know, watch some of the previous videos that we've done, you know, we're well placed obviously to deal with any other queries from a client point of view.
I think a bigger frustration for me certainly, and I know True Potential as well, is we'd love to see those, you know, tax-free allowances go up. Not for any other reason than that, you know, some of the numbers we were talking about, £8 million in a day invested from essentially consumers wanting to buy instruments that George runs to return a profit. And you're thinking, would there be much more harm in giving everyone £25,000 allowance or £30,000 allowance? It's encouraging good things. And I know they had a bit of a go at it with this British ISA, but you're thinking, well, I want to invest in a diversified portfolio, not just in one sector, not just in one country, as per the portfolios we run. And I thought, surely you could just give everybody a bit more of an allowance. So whilst them staying the same's okay because they've not gone down like other allowances, you're kind of thinking, come on, you know, have a bit of a backbone and be a government that's looking to grow and let people invest. We have, you know, 523,000 investors we speak on behalf of, and, you know, constantly I know our team are pushing to kind of try and increase these, but that's my frustration. I thought I'd get it out there. I'm just muttering away miserably in the corner again. But it is frustrating when you're speaking on behalf of half a billion people. It's a lot of people out there, half a million. So a lot of people that we're speaking on behalf of, we want them to invest. You know, we want them to put more away. Rant over. We talked a little bit about impulse save, but there are other ways, obviously direct debits and things like that, and the technology's clever enough to know your allowance and to know how much you can put in. And George, I'll bring you back in just a little bit on the benefits of compounding your money and putting in little and often, please.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the investment world, we refer to compounding as one of the wonders of the world. It's a phenomenal tool for you know, really accelerating returns over the long term. It's a way of investing regular, investing often. It's a way of, on average, getting a lower than average unit price and ensuring that you're not always buying at the top of the market. So for a long-term return profile, compounding is incredibly powerful. The requirement to achieve it is to be regular in terms of the way in which you invest, and technology is a really key tool in order to enable you to do so.
Thank you. Very well done. So, right, I've got an Apple Watch on. As you can see, I've not done many steps today. I need to get out for a walk after this. But Liam, talk to me about why it's important I've got an Apple Watch on.
Yeah, well, this month, I mean, it's a nice one for me to be able to come on this month and talk about some of the development highlights, because we have some months in development where we spend all of our resource and time making changes in the back end and the back office system, and they have an indirect benefit for clients, whereas this month we've been able to release some features that the clients will directly benefit from. So the first one we talked about was the JIDA pension process. But yeah, a really nice one to be able to get out when you mentioned the watch app. Yes, we've recently just launched our watch app just as recently as last week. Clients who already have the mobile app will get the watch app by default. It's what we call a companion app. So it comes in as part of the build for the app on your phone. So anyone who has an iPhone will automatically now receive the watch app, and it's going to allow you to look at your valuations, track your investments, any sort of recent change, performance change, look through your policies, all the policies that you've got on there, and then look through our media content as well, all on your wrist. I think some people, there may be some people who don't make much use of it, but there's others who, you know, find it really handy to be able to just quickly tap on their wrist and be able to see their investment values and the change rather than have to go through the app on the phone. So a bit of a diversifier there. I just think it's a really nice feature to be able to get out for clients. And it's one that's been rumbling on in the back room for a while. So we're really excited to have that one out there.
Good. I used it this morning.
Did it work?
More so for testing, making sure before I come online and tell everybody about it. But we've also had, and probably Sophie and Liam, because this one kind of is for both of you, but we have a video chat and we've made some enhancements to make it even better. But just explain the video chat, what it is, why we've got it, how many people use it, etc.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah. So video chat, well, we use it for our advice appointments. It's great because you're still getting that face-to-face feel with the person on the other side, and clients absolutely love it. I think the fact we've got it through our site is fantastic because you're not sending links for, you know, relying on external providers to, you know, link up this meeting that may or may not connect. You know where you're going, it's all there. And I know we've had it for a few months, but I think you made some new developments, didn't you, about when the clients join in and such like?
Yeah, so just really, I mean, the world that we live in now, the tech-led approach is so important. And as Sophie mentioned, clients really do love that. It allows them to be able to talk to their advisor face-to-face without having to make those potential big long journeys to get to see each other in person. So yeah, it's a really nice process, but it's so important that we try to keep users within our site and within our app without telling them to go to external places like Zoom or GoToMeeting or Teams. By having that all inside of our app and inside of our site, yeah, it just keeps it enclosed and ensures that, you know, we're talking about some of the most personal, important things in people's lives. And by keeping them inside of the app and inside of our remit, I think it's a fantastic thing for clients. And the changes that we've made this month are just around making the user experience better. So very similar to how Teams and Zoom work. When you join a meeting now, you put into a waiting lobby, so you're not... What was happening before is you were automatically put into the meeting, and so it's a bit of a shock factor of, oh, there's someone automatically on the other side. So it just gives clients the chance to be able to accept, yeah, they're going in and everyone's prepared and ready for each other to join. So yeah, just a couple of nice things that are just going to make the experience that little bit better for the client and the advisor.
They really do love it. They really enjoy it. We find even clients that aren't quite tech savvy because they've already used to our SAP app and they've had a welcome demo and things like that they literally log on and it's right there for them. It tells them where to click, it pops up, and they just feel a lot more comfortable and secure that it's all within the same place.
Yeah,
and I think you hit the nail on the head, Liam. The Zoom, Google Down, you know, GoToMeeting, etc. In a day you can probably end up using five or six different ones, and you think, I've spent half my time waiting for something to download. Yeah. It's aid into the meeting time, where actually this all being internal infrastructure. But also, as you said, and I think I'd never actually thought of this, but from a security point of view, you know, we own all of the technology end to end. And I think that's really important, that it's not a third party American company or whatever. And, you know, then you've got all these kind of, well, who owns the, is it recorded? Does it exist somewhere else? Ooh, I don't want to talk about my investments with, you know, that potential. Yeah, exactly. And I'd never thought of that angle, which is a good point, well made. So you're full of busy up there.
Yes, that's for sure. It's been a really busy month in general. I think in general, the development team, always there's always big projects going on all of the time, but certainly in the lead up of Taxia End, but also Taxia Start, it's a really busy period for us up there. So.
Yeah, and Richard alluded to it earlier, but hopefully, you know, at a point in this year, which shows how big of a build it is, we'll have much better processes and systems and controls around the pensions as well, which is something for clients to be a little bit more excited about.
Yeah, both from an operational point of view, you know, clients really don't need to know a lot about that. That's, you know, that's what they trust us to do. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think certainly from, you know, some of the client facing aspects, I think there's some good ideas that we've got that are, you know, on early there, Greg.
Good. Right, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. Who was in when we played basketball at work? Good. Why? That is a question that makes sense. Is our charity for both February and March was the Newcastle Eagles Foundation, which is actually the Eagles basketball arena is about 2 miles up the road. And we've been here for a long time and they've been there for a long time and we've never really crossed paths. We have fantastic links with Newcastle United Football Club, as well as Sunderland Association Football Club, where we work very close with their charities. But this was one that it actually came to light because we held our staff party there at Christmas. So we had our staff party at this venue, which was a basketball arena. We got to know the team there quite well. And what we realised is they have a foundation which needs a lot of support. So we as a company can do so. So what did we do? We had turned the car park into a basketball arena. We had a court set up and how many, I don't know, do you call them buckets, baskets? How many goals did you score, Rich?
None.
George, three?
I was a bystander.
Well, I got none as well, I'll
be honest.
I was
pretty useless considering I'm quite tall.
You look like you could play basketball.
You don't realise how high it actually is, that hoop, do you? Until you stand in front of it.
That's correct.
No slam dunks for me, Rich.
You appreciate how good they are. But we actually had the women's team turn up and show us how it was done. So why we're mentioning this, True Potential staff have raised £6,000 over the sort of 8-week period. The True Potential charity is going to double it. So that's £12,000 going to essentially what I would say is a fantastic cause. They open up the arena to house refugees or people from countries involved in war and the like. So they open it up for school children during, say, Easter break who can't access, paid activities. And they have some of the players come down, the coaches, and just basically given free tuition and sessions. So that alone is enough for me and a fantastic cause. Thank you to any clients or advisors and indeed all of the staff who contributed. I have to give a special mention to your mentor, Jeff Casson, who I believe won the basketball.
Yeah, he got five.
Outright, he got five in 20 seconds, which is, some feat. So as well as being an investment management maestro, he's not bad on the court either. So well done to Jeff. Who'd have thought it? Mm-hmm. Right. Well, thank you all for joining me and us today. Really appreciate all your insights. Thank you to all of our viewers and listeners. As usual, please do remember to like and subscribe for more content. Thank you.